Proactive MD.
From MakoRx and Proactive MD, this is Healthcare Explained. I'm Jeremy Vanderknife.
And I'm Vinay Patel. Jeremy, we are super excited to have Karthike join us on our first interview of our podcast. I couldn't be more excited to have Karthike Kaushik join us here today for this interview. And it seems like we're getting a twofer, Jeremy. I didn't realize how accomplished Karthike was. He wanted to be a dentist first. And then decided, nope, we're going to do healthcare analytics. And that's really cool. Pivoting careers and going into something brand new. So we'll learn a lot about Karthike and the incredible work he does at PAI in the conversation we're going to have today.
Absolutely.
Karthike, welcome.
Welcome.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
Karthike, you and I have known each other for a few years now, but obviously you're going to be new to most of our listeners. So introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am Karthike Kaushik. Thank you so much, Jeremy and Vinay, for having me on this podcast. As Vinay mentioned, I am a dentist by training, got my license, was practicing general dentistry, doing extraction, root canals, everything, and then went into public health, studied all of that, and then landed my career in data analytics, starting with data visualizations, creating charts, and not just a chart, but how can I catch your attention to this point in this graph and having headings and making it more focused? And from there, I ended up in the insurance industries, particularly in the self-insurance side, the commercial. And I've always loved connecting the dots, giving a bigger picture, and say, this is what's happening, and these are certain things that we need to focus on. And just concising and giving bite-sized information has been my focus. And always, like, you know, it's like you, Steve Jobs said, nothing will make sense in the moment. When you look back, you connect dots and everything will make sense. Yeah. And now that I look back, I love dentistry. I love every bit of it, being with patients on their side and doing it. Knowing myself, I think being on the operation side and constantly thinking and how we can make things better, I am better suited in my role here on the analytics side than I would have done complete justice as a dentist.
I love that. I assume you, in your current role, you tell people to floss better, probably less than you used to. One of the things also is KK and I have worked together and collaborated the last few years on some mutual clients and around data analytics. And one of the things you just mentioned really stuck out to me, and it's the idea of telling stories with data. It's not just about presenting information on a graph or on a spreadsheet, but it really is about drawing attention to particular things. And I'm wondering if you can tell our listeners a bit about what is the difference between somebody creating a report and then kind of true analytics of trying to bring more meaning to the data that you're presenting to different audiences.
No, absolutely. Like, just presenting reports and numbers, like, anyone can do this, but what am I getting out of these 10 lines? Where do I need to focus? Like, if I were the customer, what do I need to look at here? Yes, like, if this is your role, then help me get to that point. And naked numbers don't make sense. Like, $500, is that high? Is that low? Like, what does 500 mean? But $500 compared to, like, it's a $750 for an x-ray. Oh, so $500 is actually a good deal for me to move to this side versus on the other side. So just on using healthcare as an example, like, it helps with member steerage, finding high quality, low cost providers or just cost effective providers that would make sense. But you need to have a comparison, a baseline data using and then guiding. But that also helps with the buy-in side of it. I can't just tell you, go here. But if I can tell you, go here because of X, Y, and Z reasons, it will become a more cohesive and a coordinated effort than just one person telling what needs to happen next.
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to get into a lot of how you use data analytics in your current role and how it helps employer groups as well. As you mentioned, self-funded employer groups particularly. I want to take a step back and ask a quick question on your journey that led you here to your current role. Now, as a dentist, I want to find the day or the time that you realized that you needed to stop being a dentist and you needed to start going into healthcare analytics or data analytics? Were you just working on a patient and you're like, had this eureka moment that it's like, no, wait, I cannot do this anymore. I need to go to look at data analytics. Or when, what was that journey like? Or what was that moment or transition where you said, okay, this is the time to change and here's why? Or did something happen?
Nothing really happened. Like, I am very easygoing person. Uh-huh. Like, life takes you on a journey and you go on that journey. And it's just the way the certain things happen in my life is like dentistry. What was the next step? Public health. Okay, let's do figure out what's next. And data analytics happened. And that's when it clicked, when I got into this on the analytics side. It's like, I really love this. This is much better suited for me. I absolutely love the dentist, right? Being next to patients, treating them, talking to them. I like talking to people. And then this ended up being a fantastic fit of numbers and people and talking and then just telling stories through numbers. It just, life happened and I took that step and I kept going. There was some moment where it's like,
That's great. That's great. We should all have that attitude. Keep an open mind and an open path in front of us. Sometimes we get stuck in our blinders on and we just say, look, we are doing this. We have to continue doing it for XYZ reasons. So that's amazing. So now you're in your current role. This is a Planned Administrators Incorporated, correctly. Tell us, what is Planned Administrators Incorporated, or PAI for short? What do they do? What is their role in the healthcare ecosystem, particularly for employer groups? And tell us a little bit about PAI.
Absolutely. So PAI, as you said, Planned Administrators Incorporated, it's a subsidiary company of Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina.
Okay.
We are a TPA, which stands for Third Party Administrators. That means we, in very simple terms, is we work with the clients. We, working with our parent company, we are able to provide a preferred Blue South Carolina Blue Cross network to them. We process their claims. We work with brokers. Since we have all the claims data for them, we provide the reporting. We work with the groups, clients. We work with the broker side of it and make it a more cohesive and a seamless process on their benefits. So, like, as our motto says, we make benefits better and we stand by it.
So would it be, from an outsider trying to understand what third-party administrators do, is it accurate to say that you are the hub for all the stakeholders, healthcare stakeholders in the employer healthcare market to sort of interface on all the claims, all the data, all the finances for all these employer groups? Is that the right way to think about PAI as a hub?
Absolutely. That would be a fantastic way to put it, because we deal not just with the medical side of it, but we also deal with the pharmacy side of it. We are able to give you claims on the financial piece. We create bank accounts where the groups can come and tap into for funding their own claims information. So we are definitely like a one hub, one-stop shop where any sort of reporting, analytics, claims, payments, point of contact, customer service, we would be that person for you.
Let's talk about medical and pharmacy claims for a minute, because I think everybody as a healthcare consumer at some point gets their EOB, their explanation of benefits, after visiting the doctor at some point. Me personally, coming outside of healthcare, originally in public health, where really there wasn't much in the way of claims, I was pretty amazed by the wealth of information that's stored within these claims files, these documents of financial transactions. Can you talk to us a little bit about what sort of questions can be answered, or what sort of reporting outside of just, you know, how much money was spent, employers can, particularly self-funded employers, can get from, you know, a detailed claims analysis like you and your team are able to provide for your clients?
Pretty much anything, like, using pharmacy as an example, like NDC, units being used, how long, and the way they even come off, because on the pharmacy side, comes off as a written date, and then by the time it's translated, it's like a service date, paid date. Using those, same thing on the medical side, you have your procedure codes, diagnosis code, but then you can group them into like several different procedure codes, diagnosis, this is a cardiac going on. what I love most is think if I were the client or the group would be, what does this tell me on forecasting basis? What does this mean on my patient's health? It's like the MARA risk score. Prospective risk score, that is the fantastic way to say, this is fantastic, current year is great, but what does next year look like, the year after look like? Is my population healthy? Is my population not healthy? That's one way of figuring out what my financial forecast would be. Having your lag reports, how much has been paid, but how much is potentially still coming in on the next year's. That plays a role into your stop loss reporting, right? If you have a high cost claim in December, rolling into January. IBNR. Again, like those kind of things that is helps with forecasting. You can be as a client better prepared to what is to come next. And actually, if you take it one step further, you can also use the same numbers for stop loss quotes to get more competitive stop loss quotes. Using those previous years as an example is like, the stop loss company gave me this, but when I look at my claims, I got this number. Were we close or far? And then using that for your stop loss shopping and then figuring out which is best. And then you can go in as a very aware consumer on this side, because the client is the consumer to the stop loss. Like, hey, I'm getting all these. This is the closest. Can we get a better pricing on this?
What are some things that you're hearing from employers that they want out of the healthcare system or that they want out of their health plan that they're offering to their employees? I assume you have multiple representatives or you may just deal with HR the most or the CFO the most, but what are some things you're hearing from employers today that they want out of their health plan or that they want to see in the future of healthcare if they mention it?
Flexibility, like how can we make this more easy, convenient, because we don't just process claims and be like a one hub, but we are also your customer facing, your account execs. We are there at your open enrollments coming off. And if you have several different plans, is that the most effective way to manage a plan, right? Or is two plans enough to be doing that? Member education, steering members to a low cost setting, just knowing like, hey, not everything needs to go to the ER. Can we? But that comes down to like the member education side of it. Just having flexibility in different plans. If we have different scenarios, are you able to incorporate that into the benefits? Or if we have a separate, completely different contract with this hospital, not to use you, but we have a special contract, can you do those fee schedule adaptations in yours, which PAI can do all those things?
Can I ask you a little bit, because you brought it up a couple times now, Karthikeya, around this idea of quality and steerage to moving patients, steering them to higher quality providers or to lower cost settings of care. Can you talk to us a little bit about what does the word quality mean? How does a health plan identify the quality of the service that a patient might receive with the data that you have available to you?
Based on looking at the utilization, like the first thing that comes to mind is easy readmissions report. If I go to the doctor and if I am good and done, that is fantastic. But if I end up in the hospital again, it's like, that's a thing that should not be happening. Given there are a lot of gray area circumstances, severity, but for the most part, you should get out of the hospital healthy and be done with it. Mostly on the quality side, it's like you have to be, did I give you enough time with the doctor? So most of the complaints we hear on the PCP side, and I have witnessed that as well. Even we have a 2-year-old girl when we were going to the OBGYN, we did not get enough time with our OBGYN to even get our questions answered. And everything was handled by the nurses, or we would stay back a little longer to ask those questions. So it comes down to even simple terms is like, do I have enough time with my doctor to talk through things? Because half of the times it's, if I was the consumer, if all my doubts are clear, what medication to take, how much to take, how often to take, like, or just simple questions on the side effects and all that stuff. If that can be answered right up front with the doctor itself, that takes away like 90% of the things right there. That again falls into the education umbrella. Like the more educated, more we can make the patient empowered, the better it is for the healthcare system as a whole. That means the less there'll be hospital usage, utilizations, and better outcomes.
Yeah, that sounds like the ideal healthcare world where you get to have as much time as you need with your doctor, you get all your questions answered, you have a line of communication with the provider directly instead of these layers that we have to go through in every healthcare scenario. We have to deal with the resources that are most available to the patient, which sometimes are the nurses or the medical assistants before. Mm-hmm. And they have to then, it's like a game of telephone. They have to communicate that, what you're trying to say in your context, to the doctor that needs to then answer back to the frontline staff that needs to translate or communicate back to you what you want to get answered. And so that can make things a little frustrating when you have to interface with healthcare more often than usual. What would you say are one or maybe two or three things that is misunderstood in healthcare by employers?
As simple as, if you're in the self-insured industry, like, this data belongs to you. You should have access to it. You should look into it. You should ask those questions. I need to look into it, because it is a two-way street. We want to work with you. We want your input. We don't want to be like, this is the best one, and then go with it. This has to be a two-way conversation of how can we make this better? Because we can only see, context matters, right? So looking at the 30,000 foot view, we are coming from the payer side, but we need the other side of it, which is the consumer side, which is the members from the client and the group. So when you put those two pieces together, that is a cohesive story. That data belongs to you. Ask those questions, ask for it, and no one should be saying no to you. That's just, no one should be saying no to you.
Bravo. Yes, absolutely. Clients should own their data. It's their data, and it's rightfully theirs, contrary to what many, many big, huge healthcare institutions would like you to believe.
If I can ask a follow-up on that, it's really interesting because you're talking about the concept of data transparency. And as you know, Vinay just mentioned and you mentioned, there's this idea among self-funded employers, a lot of them, that this information is not accessible. If you're an employer, I think you're caught between, two competing concerns, right? One is, I need to understand what's happening in my population so that I can make the best decisions for my health plan strategy. But on the other hand, there's only certain information that I should be entitled to know about my population unless they disclose it to me, right? And as we all know on this call, healthcare claims are chock full of protected health information and personal information. Yep. So if you're an employer that's looking to be able to access this information, how can you ask for it to make sure that you're being mindful of HIPAA, you're not putting yourself potentially into healthcare privacy concerns by learning more about your employees than perhaps they would want you to know, while at the same time receiving enough information that you can be a partner at the table with your TPA, with your broker, with your other vendors, so that you're able to be strategic partners together?
Absolutely. Fantastic question, because there are like a lot of ethical, moral implications here while you're dealing with the patients. Yes, this is your client, this is your group's data, but then again, these are your members, it's their diagnosis. Do we need to get into all of that? My take always is, then we start at the 30,000 foot view. That I've used that term like three times here, but then it's like a funnel. You start up here. Where is the cost going? Can we solve the issue that I'm looking to solve by the time I get to 15 or 10,000 foot view without getting into the claims, without getting into the PHI stuff, diagnosis stuff? As simple as risk scores. What medications are we taking? What diagnoses are being used? Are costing us money, and then taking that route and seeing if I can solve this information as needed. That would help me better manage my plan next year, be better prepared for it financially. Because I think the end goal always comes down to is, am I better prepared for next year if this were to happen again, and not necessarily who cost me the plan, costed the plan this much money. So if we can get that resolved by the 10,000 foot view, or even like chronic conditions, like I don't need to know who has certain chronic conditions. If I can just have certain measures or certain wellness programs in place, mm-hmm. that can target mm-hmm. several different, because exercising itself or like better nutrition can solve like several different chronic conditions at mm-hmm. once, taking care of those things that affects lesser possible utilization cost. And the member is healthy at the end of the day. So do we need to get down to PHI level, or can this be resolved at just 10,000 foot view?
Right.
That's cool.
Sure.
Do you think that employers, and you could, you may need to segment this response by tranches, like, you know, maybe not small to mid-sized, but maybe large employers too. But do you think that they are engaged in asking and know the right questions to ask, or know the questions to ask, to your point on this two-way communication? Do they have enough time and resources? Does a company, are most companies even interested in getting really detailed about how to manage their health plan better? And are they asking the right questions to engage in this conversation? Or do they know the right questions to ask to engage in this conversation?
I think the groups, the clients are interested in knowing these questions or knowing, but it takes a little back and forth and even establishing what all can I access? Okay. What all can I ask questions? Like, what is available to me? What is the right question in this scenario? But that two-way street of open communication at least slowly erodes that piece of uncovering the facts. How much do I know? How much can I know? How much? But at least that's a good conversation starter to get to a point where both sides are equally engaged and start managing their plans better. We have engagement from all the spectrum, very involved to like not involved at all. But then there are good portion right in the middle where we, if we take them one step over to the more engaged side, we can see a world of difference in the benefits and member itself.
Is there a specific industry or segment of employers that are more involved than others, or maybe have more resources to be more involved than others?
I think there are like several different factors. Like if I were group, it depends, like what else do I have on my plate is healthcare.
Okay.
Of the budget. Okay. That's how I'm thinking of it. But definitely we have some groups who are on the education side. They are very well, very engaged. Or we have some who are on the provider side are very engaged. I think the core comes down to how familiar are you with the whole insurance industry? And that leads to like more engagement. Half of the people are right in the middle, but then give them a couple of years, give them more exposure, give them more the data, and I think that will start moving the needle towards more engagement.
I love that. Again, PAI and Proactive MD have worked together to serve some mutual clients over the last few years. And, you know, I don't think many people look to their TPA necessarily to be the strategist, right? I think to a lot of people, mm-hmm. they think about the TPA as, I'm renting a network. They handle the back office administration of claims, the adjudication. You know, I rely on my broker, my benefits consultant, other things. And I think what you're presenting here, KK, is a really interesting, where your TPA is your partner. They're not just a vendor providing a very limited service, but that leveraging your TPA and the experts within your TPA to actually be able to help educate you as an employer, you know, and join the conversation, invite them to the table alongside your benefits broker as well and your other vendors so that you can generate that strategy, given how much data and expertise is sitting within a TPA like PAI that's able to help guide you, not lead you, but guide you and be a resource. Switching gears a little bit, I wanted to ask you something. This is obviously a loaded question because I am like you and fell into data analytics somehow. Love what I do. Don't know how I got here. But, you know, I remember when I first started with Proactive, you know, somebody said, wow, for a data person, you're actually able to talk.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I think there's this, you know, the stereotype around data folks that were strictly by the numbers, maybe lack personal skills and some of that stuff that just kind of gets lumped in with stereotypes around technology. But, you know, you, especially coming from your background as a dentist, and you've mentioned several times just how much you would love being with patients and talking with patients. Can you talk to us a little bit about the humanity that you see in the work that you do? It is sometimes tough to see behind a keyboard, or you know, you're at least one step removed from the patients that you're serving. But as a data analytics professional, talk to us a little bit about the humanity, the people behind the numbers, and how you interpret that and work with them.
Absolutely. So there are sometimes I see things in claims and it just blows my mind. It's like, I would not want anyone I know close to me be in that situation. And that is eye-opening, and knowing how many the medical debt is real, seeing all those things. And it's a humbling experience that you get to see this from afar. So that's one side of it. This other side is, you know, you have the tools, or at least you have a voice in this process of knowing that if you talk or bring up ideas with the groups, those that two-way communication I was talking about, that there are things that can be put in place, measures in place that, sorry that this happened, but let's make sure that this doesn't happen to anyone else again. An eye-opener, but also like, let's fix this.
And so along those lines, right, some of the impact and the data showing some of the impact on members, both very serious, unfortunate events, and sometimes eye-opening in terms of what patients are going through. Have you, and yeah, feel free to state if you haven't done any of this analysis, what analysis, if any, have you done around primary care, access to primary care, or the length of time it may take to access primary care now versus, you know, just a few years ago? Is there been any analytics done on this? Have you done any work on this? If so, please share what insights you've found.
No, absolutely. So I thought, yes, we have. And it all, as you move forward, right, as the time progresses, there are new ways. And like, how can we make these things better? We know this is an issue. How do we make things better? And like Jeremy said, our collaboration with PAI and Proactive MD has been a fantastic experience. Knowing, not just seeing in the analytics, like how from the analytics, I can't tell you the times the doctor spent with the patient, but I can tell you how many people have seen a doctor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just knowing that number, how medium to small that number is, versus working with Proactive MD, and I'll touch on another point, but integrating their piece into the claims data and having a holistic experience, the PCP utilization has shot up,
okay,
has shot up significantly. So the other point I was going to touch is, when you talked about TPA, PAI being a one hub, one-stop shop, right? So it's not just medical claims, it's not just pharmacy claims, but we do financials, bank accounts. But let's take this one step further. We also have that strategic partnerships, in this case, Proactive MD. And everything that is happening that we are doing, Proactive MD, the consultants, brokers, the TPAs, everyone is keeping the group in the center. How can we make this a better experience for them? And what better experience than having all these vendors, in this case Proactive MD, and ingesting all their no claims data into the claims data and seeing it holistically? And you can see a significant difference in Proactive MD being there, no Proactive MD being there in terms of PCP utilization. And that has definitely, and then you supplement that with the testimony that you hear, not just from the HR leaders, from the account execs, because they are the ones that they're there at the open enrollment. I have been to Proactive MD, and that is honestly the most thorough examination I have had so far. What does that do for me? That motivates me to take it a step further and like make a routine appointment. 6 months later, I am showing up again.
Hmm.
So that adds into the wellness piece of it. It's just being nice, having the availability, accessibility, knowing it is for you, and they are doing a thorough check with you. So that makes you feel good. That makes you want to come back again. It's just human nature. You are treated nicely. You want to go back to that place again. So I would tackle that both emotionally, on emotion side of it, analytical side of it, integration, everything.
Just to be clear to our listeners, it's not a paid sponsorship, but obviously we appreciate the opportunity to take care of any of our patients across the country. All right. Well, you know, KK, you're going to be, unfortunately, our guinea pig for this. So
I love it.
What we want to be able to do is, you know, leave some of our listeners with a couple of nuggets of our guest personalities as well to show through outside of just the business of health insurance. And so we're going to ask you a couple of questions. In case this doesn't work out, it's going to seem pretty silly because this will be the only episode with it. But I'm really hoping we'll get a chance to learn a little bit more about you. Vinay, do you have some of those questions?
Yeah. Let's start with you. Jeremy mentioned personality. So if you were to describe your personality, if it were a vehicle, make and model, how would you describe your personality as a vehicle?
I love technology. I absolutely adore technology, will move with technology. Sometimes it just backfires and it's like too much is happening. But I also like stability. I like being grounded, being not just flying off everywhere. So when you ask me that question, the first thing that always comes to car is the Volvo XC90. It's solid, it's grounded, but it has technology to keep you safe, keep you secure.
Yeah. And it goes along with the work that you do. Your work is keeping people safe by making sure everyone has access to the data and making sure it never happens again. So that's it's fascinating. That's cool. That's cool.
I definitely love that. As somebody who used to drive a Ford Fiesta where none of the safety worked, there's something to be said about technology in a well-engineered vehicle. And I'll echo what Vinay said. I think, you know, clearly you have the heart of a caretaker, even if you're no longer in direct patient care. I think that shows through. So, all right, next question. If you were to describe healthcare with songs, what would be your songs?
And why?
There are two songs that come to mind. One on the funny side is, you can't touch this.
Uh-huh.
Well, how was Proactive able to give you a thorough exam then?
Tell us where that song came to mind and what and how it fits into...
Just keeping the current situations in mind, right? What has happened, the image of healthcare in the current world, just several different pieces, fine. It's like, okay, there's more that, again, we know what the issues are, but then the next question is, how can we fix it? How can we make it better? How can we make it more accessible? So that's where, that was on a funny note, but that but to complement that, second song that I have is Lean On Me, right? Everyone needs healthcare. And that is where we know what the issues are, but how can we fix it? How can we make it more accessible? How can we make it a more pleasant experience for everyone? It's not about just few people, but everyone deserves healthcare. And how can we make it accessible for everyone?
No, I love that. And I think especially the news the last couple of weeks, this being recorded on the, you know, after the shooting of Brian Thompson, United Healthcare's CEO, and the manhunt that followed and, you know, the arrest of the alleged shooter. You know, I think it's really drawn into stark contrast how healthcare is viewed in the United States. And, you know, is it a human right? And many people are perceiving health insurance and healthcare as getting in the way of that human right. Mm-hmm. Or can a company that works on the insurance side, like a PAI, actually be an enabler that helps people get access to care that they might not otherwise have and be on the side of the patient? And I think that's so important right now. And I love that you chose that song. So, you know, Vinay and I end each episode asking if we've got any words of wisdom, but as you're our guest, the question goes to you, Karthikay. Any last words of wisdom that you want our listeners, to leave with?
Take that leap of faith. Not everything is perfect, but if you don't take that leap of faith, you don't know what's on the other side and the issues that may arise and what needs to be done to even fix it. And that just goes even like healthcare space or on personal note. Just take that leap of faith. Have that confidence and just go for it.
Love that.
Thank you so much, KK or Karthikay, for joining us in this first interview episode of Healthcare Explained. It has been a really great conversation. You've shared so many insights with our audience, and we hope to have you again later on. for another conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And thank you so much, Renee and Jeremy, for having me.
Thank you. All right. From Proactive MD and Mako RX, this is Healthcare Explained. I'm Jeremy Vanderknife.
And I'm Vinay Patel.
We'll talk to you next time.
Proactive MD.